right, everybody. Welcome back to another episode of the UConn Connect podcast. This is Michael Lilly, joined, as always, Neil Height. Neil, how's UConn doing right now?
Staying very busy again.
Wow, who would have ever imagined?
We got a call today. Another congregation wanting somebody for the 23rd, and so far, amazingly, we have covered everything in June. Now, I can't say that for July yet. You and I probably need to talk about that after the podcast.
Okay.
But let's talk about last week. You had an opportunity to go to a congregation you hadn't been before, Cherry Creek.
I got to go to Cherry Creek. What a blessing that was. That is a that's a really strong group of Christians out there. I really enjoyed getting
that.
To go out there.
I haven't sent anyone yet. And I didn't mean to say that way. We, UConn, hasn't sent anyone yet that hasn't come back and said, man, I enjoy going out there. So
yeah.
That's great. That means it's a very welcoming and loving congregation who's eager to learn.
Absolutely.
At Free State, Anderson Judd covered that morning, and I talked to Brad Gall, and he said, you know, I know y'all's VBS is starting, so we'll take care of that evening. You just take care of the morning. So
cool.
Anderson took care of that morning. Brother John Phillips went to Beach Grove and had a good time there. I've already talked with him and enjoyed spending some time with those folks there. Cameron Richardson was at Mayland. I had the opportunity to speak here and enjoyed that that morning. And then, of course, that night we began our VBS.
Yep.
We also covered Chestnut Mound with Brother Kenneth Anderson. So this coming Sunday, the 16th, Dennis Hood will be at Free State. Dale Anderson will be at Beach Grove. Anderson Judd will take care of Mayland. I get to speak at Double Springs again. Gary Dodd will be at Burristown. Did you remember that name?
Yes, I remember it this time.
And Brother Kenneth is going to cover Gainesboro. They called and they needed someone for Father's Day as well. So 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. We're covering six congregations.
And is Gary's going out there morning and evening to Burristown, right?
Yes, he's taking care of the whole thing.
Because that's usually my Sunday to preach, but I will be in Florida, up in the panhandle.
Vacation?
Yep.
Much
vacation.
Deserved. Great. How's your teaching in VBS? How's it going?
Oh, it's going great. I've got a great group of kids. I've got the fifth and sixth graders. Really smart group of kids. They're so intelligent and eager to learn. There's been, you know this from teaching. A lot of times you'll end up with kids that are either rowdy and rambunctious, quiet, and they're probably listening to you, but they're not going to say much. This group of kids is like the ideal group of kids. They will speak up in class. They're eager to read scripture. They want to ask questions. They want to answer questions. It's been such a blessing to teach VBS this week. I've really enjoyed it.
Makes teaching fun, doesn't
it? Yeah.
I hope they keep that even as they go into the higher grades and on into college and things like that, because if they can keep that desire, it will bloom and blossom into them wanting to do.
Yeah, and you know, it's, well, for example, there was one little girl that asked, we were talking about Nebuchadnezzar's dream
the other night
in Daniel chapter 2, and she asked, why did he have that dream? Why did he have that dream? And it's just one of those things where it's like, you know what, why did he have that dream? Let's think about that for a minute. And, you know, we came to the conclusion, I didn't give him an answer. We talked it out, right? But we came to the conclusion that God gave him that dream to prove God's power and sovereignty over everything. And that was...
It's great.
To see the gears turning and then making those connections,
it's really
awesome. So, I've really enjoyed it.
Well, good deal. We've had some good classes in the adult classes, and I really enjoyed those. Tonight, we're going to be talking about Daniel and the Lion's Den in the kids' class and in the auditorium. Invite any and all to come. We will start at 6:30. Start out with some singing, some skits, and then we'll dismiss the classes. So if you need somewhere to go and want to come learn about Daniel and the Lion's Den, come visit us tonight.
You know, I did think it was funny going over all the VBS material that we totally skipped Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah in the fiery furnace.
We did. It's a great
story. It's a great, great story. And I feel like it could have fit in. You know, if you will trust in God's power and walk with Jesus, you can make it through anything.
And
you
that,
can.
It
that
might
doesn't
show
mean you...
up in tonight's lesson just a little
yeah,
bit.
Yeah.
It just might show up.
It just, it felt like, and I've mentioned it too, in pretty much every night.
It's
in
hard
class,
not to.
Connected it back. But it just felt like such a shame that we didn't focus on it. I had to work it in there somehow. So, but
good
yeah,
deal.
It's good stuff.
Well, all right. Let's go as far as we can in James.
Chapter 3. We're starting chapter 3 today.
Don't think we'll make it all the way through.
Oh, no. Certainly not. But we can start with a few verses and see where we end up. You want to just start reading and just stop whenever you feel compelled, Neil, and we'll talk.
Well, folks, I'm reading out of the New King James. Michael normally reads out of the Christian Standard Bible. And the whole reason behind that is I'm older. I grew up on the King James. I have the Christian Standard Bible, used Christian Standard Bible. But when I have memorized Scripture, they're old King James, so I need enough of those words to come into the New King James so I can find
them. Yeah, that's kind of the thing about the CSB.
Certainly not because I feel like it is the divine translation. I use a lot of different translations. So
yeah,
let's begin.
That's good.
And I'll be honest with you, I'm not going to get very far because I'm going to stop pretty quick.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
My brethren, let not many of you become teachers, knowing that we shall receive a stricter judgment. For we all stumble in many things. If anyone does not stumble in word, he is a perfect man, complete man, mature man, able also to bridle the whole body. Yeah, well, I'm done. It's time to talk.
All right. Yep.
So, Michael, I'm going to tell you, that first verse, like many verses in the Bible, is taken out of context many times and used by many folks to say that, you know, I just can't teach. I won't teach.
Well,
there are folks who are better teachers than others. I will agree.
Yeah.
Here lies the problem. If you are mature enough to understand this, we're all teachers. We may not stand in front of a class, but we're setting an example, and somebody is watching us and learning from us. So like it or not, you're a teacher. Now, I know he's talking about the person who literally is standing up, is presenting the lesson. I know that's what he's talking about here, and that's why a lot of folks don't want to do that. Oh, I'll receive a stricter judgment. He's not telling you don't teach.
Yep.
He's telling you, make sure you're teaching for the right reason.
Yeah, make sure you're teaching for the right reason.
And you're teaching correctly.
Yes, that stricter judgment, I think, is sometimes either misunderstood or just frankly not understood what he's really getting at there. And the point is, if you get up and teach in front of a class, you get up and you decide you're going to preach, that sort of thing, you are responsible for what you feed to those people that are listening to you.
That's exactly what he's saying.
Yeah.
Which means take some time. If you're going to teach folks, I was a teacher in the education system for 27 years. And when I walked into a room, I could tell you if that teacher prepared that lesson.
Yep.
It showed. Folks, it shows when you come to teach a Bible class and you haven't looked at the lesson, you grab it, you open it up, and you start teaching right then. And the kids pick up on it too.
Mm-hmm.
If you're going to teach, this means you got to put your heart into it. Be ready to teach.
Yeah.
How about stumbling in that word?
Stumble in what he says, the CSB says.
He is a perfect man. The word there probably should have been translated mature. You've grown up, you understand.
CSB says mature.
Good.
He's mature and able to control the whole body.
If you can control that what?
Your tongue.
That tongue!
That's the heading on my section, is controlling the tongue. Good luck.
Good
is what
luck.
It is what it should have said next to
good
it.
Luck.
Good luck.
that tongue gets us in a lot of trouble.
Yeah, I almost take that verse 2 almost mockingly or jokingly.
I think so.
Oh, if anyone's able to not stumble in what he says, well, he's mature. He's perfect. He can control the whole body.
He's got it complete.
You've got it all figured out.
You know, I think back, and you look at, we talked about this some, you and I, and I can't remember if it was on the podcast or not, but we were talking with Chase, and you get to John chapter 3 and Philip.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Philip, you've been with me this long and you don't understand?
Yeah.
And then Peter, and then James and John, hey, can we just call down fire? And I can just see Jesus holding his hands on his head and shaking it and saying, hey, do you not understand anything? What? Do you not see me?
Yeah.
The example is, folks, we got to watch that mouth. And I think the big problem here, he doesn't say it, but reading between the lines is, think before you open that mouth.
Yeah.
Think about this. Is this something that is going to be for edification, building? Is it necessary? Sometimes you have to tell folks that things that are wrong, you're not doing it to hurt their feelings.
But that's
it's something they need to hear.
But and that's the key, is speaking the truth in love.
Ephesians 4:15.
If you tell everybody what they want to hear or what you think they want to hear, whatever sounds good, whatever will make them feel good, I question how much you love that person or how much you truly care about them. And of course there's this whole new wave of progressive Christianity, of liberal theology that tries to paint this image of a false Jesus that just accepted everybody. You can do whatever you want. There is no sin. I came to forgive all sin, which he did. I'm not denying that. He came to forgive all sin. But he never once encouraged somebody to keep sinning or to stay in their sins. What did he tell the adulterous woman that they drug out of the house to come to Jesus and say, all right, he says, who wants to throw the first stone?
Uh-huh.
Everybody realizes, oh, you know what? Should probably walk away.
Yeah. Can't
and what is? But what does he tell that woman? Go and keep having sex with that guy.
Nope. Go and sin no more.
Go and sin no more.
After he says, where are your accusers? Did nobody stay here to condemn you? Nobody. Then I'm not going to condemn you either. But.
Go and sin no more.
Go your way. Go on. But stop doing what you're doing.
Yep.
Get it straight. Do the right thing.
He never encourages people to stay in their sinful nature. He does not.
I've said this, and you will hear me say it in sermon eventually, probably. You can come as you are, but you cannot stay as you were.
You know, I read a post recently by a brother that I've come to really respect him. I've never even had a conversation with him, but I read his stuff online. His name is Jack Wilkie, if anybody wants to look him up. Has a pretty significant online ministry
presence. Gotcha.
He made a post, you know, about this story of a preacher who talks about this alcoholic, recovering alcoholic, who would come to church and everybody would see him and kind of look at him in the corner of their eye and give him some weird looks and stuff like that. But then he would go to his AA meeting and be welcomed with open arms. Everybody would love him, make sure he's okay, you know, glad to see him there because, but basically painting this picture that his AA group was more welcoming than his church. And Jack's point was, generally speaking, we don't have a problem with being welcoming and hospitable in the church. At least in his experience, in my experience too. Generally speaking, we welcome anybody to come and to know Christ, to be loved by his people, to be loved by God. But the problem is, we don't encourage people to stay that way.
Yeah.
And they take our encouragement towards spiritual growth and our lack of tolerance of sin as a lack of hospitality or spitefulness or hatefulness. It's not that we
don't like you. It's that we want to see you grow. And if you are not interested in growth, then what are we supposed to do? If you are continuing in your sinful lifestyle, then yes, it's gonna come across as if we're not hospitable anymore. Because no, we are not accepting of sinful lifestyles, of adulterous relationships, no, of addiction and things like that. We don't tolerate those things, but it's because we want to break those things and bring the people to Christ.
Isaiah says, your iniquities. And that word iniquity sometimes is translated transgression. Sometimes it's translated sin. They're all the same. Your iniquities have separated you from God. Sin is what separates us from God. And we're doing no one any favors if we coddle them and say, oh, it's okay. You just keep on doing what you're doing. Now, there's a difference between somebody falling under a load, under stress, that has been doing really good, but just
stumbles.
There's a difference between that and somebody who says, well, kind of like the first century, I know what I'll do. I just keep on sinning. God's grace will abound.
Yeah.
That, no. God forbid.
God forbid.
God forbid that we do that. Yeah, I tell you, our tongue gets us in a lot of trouble. And he goes through here, and I guess we ought to hit just a little bit of this as we continue on. He says, indeed, we put bits in horses' mouths that they may obey us, and we turn their whole body. And look at ships, although they are so large and driven by fierce winds, they are turned by a very small rudder, wherever the pilot desires. Even so, the tongue is a little member and boasts great things. See how great a forest a little fire kindles. Man, the tongue is a little member in the body, mm-hmm, but boy, it has a lot of power.
And verse 6 goes along with that.
Read that out of CSB, though.
That image. And the tongue is a fire. The tongue, a world of unrighteousness, is placed among our members. It stains the whole body, sets the course of life on fire, and is itself set on fire by hell.
And yours translates that hell as well, right there.
Yeah.
I dare say, what's the saying? The pen is mightier than the sword.
Yeah.
How many people have we hurt in our lifetime by the words that we've said? Sometimes intentionally, let's just be honest. Sometimes we've said things intentionally. And maybe sometimes we have said things maybe not intentionally, but we just didn't think about how that could come across. And we hurt folks. And James is saying here, you're going to have to wake up and start watching what you say. Think about what you say, because let me tell you, that little kindling, that little match that sets that little bitty a mound of dry kindling on fire roars into this great forest fire that devours
everything.
Can you imagine how far? I've heard this. Bad news gets around the world before the truth can get up and get its pants on. A bad word, those things that you're saying that are destructive, will get out among the community much faster and last much longer than all the good that you're seen doing.
Yep.
And we've got to watch that. That's nothing new, is it? He would have had to address it if it wasn't going on then.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I mean, you'll find that that's true for so many teachings like this in the New Testament. You know, we act like we've come so far as a society and that we don't have a lot of these problems anymore. But, oh boy.
But do we?
And it's not even as a society, as Christian communities still have these exact same problems.
We had talked about this back. Well, excuse me, and we'll talk about it again. But you bite and devour one another. Why is that? You should be building one another up. Yes, holding each other accountable, but not to hurt and destroy, but to help and build up.
Yeah. We're not dragging people over the coals for their sins.
Absolutely not.
But we are trying to drag them out of them.
Yes.
And lift them up closer to Christ.
And all of that, it comes down to, what is it? Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks.
Yep.
What's in your heart, folks? Because that's what your mouth is going to be speaking. Mm-hmm. What's in your heart?
And Christ says, He says, I'm the living water, and anyone who drinks from me will also have rivers of water overflowing from them as well.
That's right.
So as Christians, that's the view that Christ gives us of how we should be. You know, we love Jesus and we love His Word, and those of us who seemingly know the most about Christ and about His love are the least like Him in the way we talk to people.
Isn't that the case? Well, we're running close on time.
Yeah.
So I want to pose a question. You just worded it, and I want to pose this question as we close out. So what comes out of you? A consuming fire or refreshing water? What comes out of you? What does your tongue do? We'll leave you with that. Michael, I think I closed this out last time in prayer. If you would, don't forget, Tuesday I'm rolling out to Africa. Pray for a safe trip, if you don't mind, but more so, opportunities to spread the word.
Of course. Let's pray.
Father God, we thank you for this day, for this amazing week that you've had, that you've blessed us with, for the opportunity to break open your bread of life, to go back to the book of Daniel, one of the greatest prophets of yours, Father, and continue to learn lessons from him, even all the way to today, about how to truly honor you and please you in this life, Father. We pray for this last night of VBS that much good can still be done. We pray that your hand is still with us and that it will still be upon us and bless the work of our hands, Father. Father, we ask you to be with Neil, be with all of his friends that are traveling with him to Africa. Father, we pray that, again, much good can come from the work that's done there, that your word will be proclaimed, that Christ will be exalted, that the presence of the Holy Spirit will be felt among those people, and that above all, you, Father, will receive the glory.
Yes.
Father, we just thank you so much for Jesus. We thank you so much for his sacrifice. We thank you so much for the hope of heaven that we have. We thank you for the gift of the Holy Spirit who walks with us. And as we walk with him, Father, we pray that we live a life that honors you, and that we can have that hope for heaven one day. It's in Jesus' holy and precious name that we see all these things. Amen.
Amen.